This is the Ask Pastor Alex podcast with your host, Pastor Alex.
All right, welcome back, everyone. I'm Pastor Alex, lead pastor of Georges Creek Baptist Church in Easley, South Carolina, and I want to welcome you in to another episode of the Ask Pastor Alex podcast. For today's episode, we have a really fun, interesting question, and it is, should Christians fast? Actually, the longer question is fasting relevant today? And if so, what is the God-honoring way to do it? This is an important question because fasting is a spiritual discipline. It is something that we are intended to do that is going to help us grow spiritually and strengthen our communion with God. But fasting is, without a doubt, the most neglected spiritual discipline today. So I want to start by just addressing what fasting is according to the Bible. Biblical fasting is voluntary abstinence from food for spiritual purposes. Let's break that definition down, okay? So fasting is voluntary, meaning it should never be coerced. And it is specifically an abstinence from food or drink, and it is specifically for spiritual purposes. Now, the reason we even have to make that clarification in the first place is because it is very common today for Christians to practice what they call fasting by giving up something they feel is hindering their life, or maybe it's something that's becoming too prominent in their life. It's taken away their focus and their devotion from God. So for instance, sometimes they will fast from social media, or they will fast from technology or some activity or hobby. This practice cannot technically be called biblical fasting, since the Bible only ever specifically links fasting with the abstinence from food and sometimes food and drink. Now, that's not to say that giving up these things for a time is bad. In fact, it can actually be quite helpful, especially if these things are causing a hindrance to your spiritual life. But biblically speaking, it cannot actually be qualified as a biblical fast. It may be a good fast and something that can strengthen you spiritually, but it isn't a technical biblical fast. It may be surprising to learn that there are actually different categories of fasting listed in the Bible. Although the exact terms might not be used, they do adequately describe the different types of fasts that we see. So for instance, a normal fast involves abstaining from food, but not water. This is the type of fast that we see Jesus practice in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 verse 2 says, "After fasting 40 days and nights, he was hungry." Now notice it doesn't say he was thirsty. This means he probably only abstained from food and not water. This is the most common type of Christian fast today, to give up eating food and continue to drink water or some other liquid for some undisclosed amount of time. Another type of fast we see in the Bible is a partial fast. A partial fast is when a person limits his diet but does not abstain from food completely. We see this kind of fast in Daniel chapter 1, verse 12, for instance. The Bible says, "For 10 days, Daniel and his friends only ate vegetables and drank water." So you could see that they did not give up all food and all drink, they just limited their diet to a particular thing. It was a fast for 10 days, a partial fast. You could say this was also the type of fast that John the Baptist practiced in his life, because the Bible says that he limited his diet to locusts and wild honey. And so a partial fast is really appealing for Christians who want to practice fasting as the Bible says we should, but who are unable to safely abstain from all food. Another type of fast is an absolute fast. This refers to abstaining from all food and all liquid. We see this type of fast in Ezra chapter 10, verse 6, and also in Esther chapter 4, verse 16. And again, we see it after Saul's conversion in Acts chapter 9, verse 9. The Bible says Saul did not eat or drink for 3 days. And so in absolute fast, you give up all food and all liquid, but this type of fast should only be limited to a day or two, since the body typically cannot go very long without water. Another type of fast is a supernatural fast, which is not advisable for Christians today. This type of fast refers to special instances in the Bible where God supernaturally preserved people fasting for a length of time that would typically be lethal for humans. We see two instances of this in Scripture. When Moses goes up on the mountain, he fasted for 40 days, and he gave up all food and all water for 40 days. And then the prophet Elijah did the same thing when he also went up on the mountain, maybe even the same mountain, read your Bibles, and he fasted from food and water for 40 days. So this is a special circumstance in the Bible. This is a special fast, a supernatural fast, and this is not something that Christians should try to practice today. Another category of fasting is a private fast. This is the type of fast that Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18, when he said that when we fast, we should do so in such a way that it's not noticeable by other people. This should be something we do in secret. And the Bible says if we do it in secret, then our Heavenly Father who sees in secret will reward us. We don't fast to get that reward, but we certainly will get no reward if we fast in such a way that we draw attention to ourselves. There are also congregational fasts in the Bible. We read about this in Joel chapter 2, verses 15 through 16. The Bible says, "Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, consecrate the congregation." We do also see evidence of this type of congregational fast in the New Testament, because the book of Acts tells us in chapter 13, verse 2, that the church in Antioch was worshiping the Lord and fasting, and it seems that they were doing so as a congregation. Now, we don't know the purpose behind their fast. We're going to get into purposes for fast later, but we do see that the whole congregation had joined together to participate in this fast. There were also national fasts in the Old Testament, times in which the whole nation of Israel gathered together to participate in a fast. You see this in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 3, Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 1, Esther chapter 4, verse 16, and even by the city of Nineveh in Jonah chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. In terms of requirements, there was only one regular fast that God established and required of his people. Every year on the Day of Atonement, every Jew was to fast. You read about that in Leviticus chapter 16, verses 29 through 31. So this was the only fast that God mandated for the people of Israel. However, while the Jews were in Babylon, they instituted four other annual fasts, and you can read about that in Zechariah chapter 8, verse 19. And then you even see by the time of the New Testament, the Pharisees had established their own tradition of fasting twice a week. Now, that was not something that was mandated by God or instituted by God. That was something that the Pharisees came up with because, you know, they were always trying to be super holy. So they said, we're going to fast twice a week. Another category of fasting we see in the Bible is what we would call an occasional fast, which are fasts that occur as special needs arise. The fasts of Jehoshaphat and Esther would also fall into this category. Now, here's what I think every Christian needs to know about fasting, is that fasting is expected of all Christians. Fasting is not just something for super Christians or for particular people in the Bible. Fasting is something that is expected of every single Christian. Jesus made this very clear when he taught in Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 17. He says, and when you fast, dot, 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 he says again, but when you fast. Now notice, he doesn't say, hey, if you feel like fasting, here's what you should do. And he doesn't say, hey, if you happen to participate in fasting, here's what it's going to look like. No, instead he says, when you fast, meaning he expects his people to fast. And what's really interesting is in this same section, Jesus addresses prayer and giving. And he says things like when you give and when you pray. And it's interesting to note that every Christian today would say that praying is necessary and praying is expected and giving is necessary and giving is expected. And so my question is, why do we think fasting would be any different? Why would we think that fasting is not necessary and expected of Christians? Thankfully, Jesus does give us guidelines with regard to fasting as well. Specifically, he says, and when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So Jesus says, when you fast, don't announce it. Don't publicize it. Don't draw attention to yourself. Don't disfigure your face and go about complaining, oh, I'm so hungry. I'm really hungry because I'm fasting. You know, that's just how holy I am. I'm righteous because I'm doing this thing. Jesus says, if you're doing it in that way, you're doing it so that others will see you and praise you. And if that's the case, well, then congratulations. You have already received your reward. You should not expect anything from God. Instead, he says, if you want to fast in a way that is honoring to God, wash your face. Keep up your appearance. Don't let anyone know by your appearance or your complaining that you are fasting. Because if you fast so that others will see and praise you, then again, congratulations, you have received your reward. But if you fast in secret, then your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Now, this is incredibly relevant for this particular time right now, because this is the Lent season, right? This is the time when you see Catholics and Methodists participating in Lent. And something that I find very interesting about Lent, and this is coming from someone who grew up in the Methodist Church. That's my background. I grew up in the Methodist Church, so I'm very familiar with all the traditions and regulations within the Methodist Church. What's really interesting is most people are not giving up food for this 40-day period. They practice Lent as a way of imitating Jesus's fast during the 40 days that he was in the wilderness. And so they're going to give something up, typically not food like Jesus. And so they'll give up technology, or they'll give up social media. Maybe they'll give up fried foods or something like that. So most of these fasts can't even be considered biblical fasts. But the bigger issue is that after they write down whatever they're giving up, they write it on a piece of paper. They typically have it burned in like a metal bowl, metal plate, something like that. And then the ashes from the thing that they have submitted to be burned are used to draw a cross on their forehead. And then a lot of people that I know will take pictures of themselves with that ashen cross on their forehead, and they post it all over social media. And I'm looking at the Bible and I'm saying, hold on, Jesus says, wash your face, keep up your appearance. Don't let other people know that you're fasting. So if you do want to participate in Lent, hey, that's good for you. Taking a time to give up something that's become a problem in your life or a hindrance to your spiritual life, that's good. I have no problem. I have nothing against that whatsoever. My problem is, if you're going to do it, don't be posting pictures on social media letting everyone else know you're doing it. Give it up in secret, fast in secret, because you're doing it for the honor of God, not for the applause of man. That's not even in my notes. That one was for free. It just came off the top of the head. However, here's what I do want to say. Sometimes when you fast, it will be necessary to let someone else know that you are fasting for practical reasons. For instance, if you typically have someone cook for you, let's say your wife cooks all your meals, praise God that you've got that. My wife cooks most of my meals, so I praise the Lord for that all the time. But if your wife cooks all your meals for you, then it may be necessary to let her know that you're fasting so that she will not prepare a portion for you. I love the way that Don Whitney clarifies this. He says, the problem is not whether another person knows or asks about your fast, but whether you want him or her to know or ask so you can appear more spiritual. So it's not always necessary to keep it entirely secret. The point is not that nobody knows about it. The point is, do you want other people to know about it? And if you do want other people to know about it, why is that? Is it for a practical reason so that they won't prepare a portion for you? Or is it because you want to appear more spiritual and get some applause? The other really important thing that we need to know and understand about fasting is that biblical fasting is always for a purpose. Fasting should never become a legalistic activity or something we do just to be able to say that we have done it. Fasting is always for a purpose. As you fast, your hunger that you are going to feel, it actually serves you, because every time you feel hungry, you're reminded of the purpose for which you were fasting. The most common purpose for fasting is for the purpose of strengthening prayer. We see this purpose in the book of Ezra in chapter 8, verse 23. Ezra was leading a group of exiles back to Jerusalem, and they were going to face many challenges. And so the Bible says, so we fasted and implored God for this, and he listened. In other words, they fasted to strengthen their prayers about returning to Jerusalem and about the challenges that they were going to face. You can do the same thing today. So let's say you have an unbelieving spouse and you want to pray for them. And you've been trying to pray for them, but maybe you don't pray for their salvation as much as you know you should. Maybe it's only occasional. And so you decide, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to set aside a time of fasting. And it could be for a certain length of time. You could say every Monday for the next month, I'm going to fast from just after breakfast until just before dinner. And so what would happen is every time throughout the day, when you feel hungry, when you would normally eat, it serves as a reminder to you to pray for your spouse and to pray for their salvation. So this is going to remind you to be in prayer for them throughout the day. Every single time you feel hungry, you devote yourself to prayer for the specific purpose that you are fasting. It's also important to realize that fasting does not coerce God into giving us what we want. Fasting doesn't change God's mind on certain things, but it does change our prayer habits, and that's the point. And it encourages us to pray more often than we would if we were not fasting. Another spiritual purpose of fasting is to seek God's guidance. We see an example of this as Paul and Barnabas would appoint elders in the churches they planted. The Bible tells us in Acts 14:33 that they fasted and prayed to seek God's guidance on that matter. So again, fasting doesn't guarantee that we're going to receive absolute clarity on the issue we're seeking guidance for, but it does make us more receptive to God's guidance than if we were not fasting in the first place. And so if you're really wanting God's guidance on something, if you feel like you're struggling to receive answers, you're struggling to discern the will of God, one of the best things you could do is set aside a time of fasting. And every time you feel hungry, you pray for God's guidance in this situation. And what you're going to find is the more you pray for God's guidance in this situation, the more you're going to be receptive to hear His voice and discern His will. Fasting in the Bible was also a way of expressing grief and repentance. We often see people in Scripture fast to express their grief over their own sins or even the sins of others. It's a way of physically expressing to God the sorrow you feel over sin. I know of churches that even join together on occasion to fast as a way of expressing grief over the sins of our nation. It's also a great way to express true repentance of sin. If you've been engaged with a certain sin for some time, you could set aside a time of fasting. And as you feel hunger, it would remind you to pray to God for deliverance from that sin, or pray and express your sorrow over that sin, and express a commitment to turn away from it completely. Fasting can also be for the purpose of expressing concern for the work of God. We see this in the Bible when Nehemiah fasted and prayed about the work of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Daniel also fasted and prayed about the great work of the people returning to Jerusalem. So one of the best things you can do on behalf of your church and on behalf of the work of God in your life is set aside a time of fasting to pray about God's work. Whatever the issue is in your church, whatever it is in your life and ministry, whatever work you're wanting to see God bring about and move in a powerful way, you could fast. And every time you feel that hunger, you pray about the particular work that you're wanting God to bless or wanting God to bring about. Another purpose of fasting is to overcome temptation. This might be why Jesus fasted in the wilderness, because he knew he was going to be tempted by Satan. And so he was preparing himself to face that temptation. And so if you're battling against a particular sin, and you've tried your best to overcome it, and you've prayed about it, and you feel like you're not making any progress, you could set aside a time of fasting. And every single time you feel tempted to give into that particular sin, it reminds you to pray, and it reminds you to ask God for deliverance from that sin. In this way, you are making yourself wholly dependent on God, and you are committing yourself to living in obedience to Him. You say, God, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't even want to feel this temptation anymore. And so every time you feel hungry, you pray and you beg God for deliverance and to help you overcome that temptation. There are probably many more purposes of fasting that we could find in Scripture, but I do believe these are the main ones and the most practical ones that we can practice today as Christians. So yes, Christians should still fast today. It is a voluntary abstaining from food or drink for a spiritual purpose. If you're going to fast, and you should, you need to decide on a purpose before beginning the fast. Then you set aside your time, you keep it private unless it's absolutely necessary to tell someone else, and then every time you feel hunger throughout that day, you pray for that purpose and you beg God to intervene. Also remember that fasting will not make God do anything, but it will strengthen our prayer life. It will make us more dependent on God, and it will make us more receptive to receiving God's guidance on a particular issue. And so I hope that you have found this answer helpful. Be sure to submit your questions to askpastoralexpodcast@gmail.com. And as always, I look forward to answering more in the future.